This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Finding Resilience During a Pandemic. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. In the beginning of this year, reporter Liz Tung brought us the story of David Fagenbaum, who had nearly died several times from a rare illness called Castleman's disease. It has features of cancer, but it also causes the immune system to attack vital organs. David got this diagnosis when he was a third-year medical student. Every time he came close to death, he became more determined to live his life to the fullest. Every setback became a lesson in resilience. He reconnected with a former girlfriend he loved, Caitlin. He stayed in school. He was treated with a high dose of chemotherapy and an experimental drug. Things seemed to stabilize, but then his symptoms returned. Let's listen back to the story from here.
David was scared, so he flew back to Little Rock to talk with his doctor.
I said, okay, well, what next? Like, what other drugs are in development? And he said, there aren't any other drugs in development. I said, okay, well, what sort of promising leads are there? Are there cell types? Are there, like, things that we can target? And he said, no, there aren't.
It was David's fourth relapse, and what would maybe become his most important lesson yet. If he wanted a cure, he'd have to find it himself.
If I was going to hope for a drug or pray for a solution, that I would need to turn my hope into action, and that I would need to start fighting back and start to try to identify drugs and treatments that could maybe help me and other patients.
So David dove into the research and pretty quickly realized there was a problem. There were just a handful of Castleman's researchers around the world, and none of them were talking to each other. As one of David's friends told him, what Castleman's needed was a quarterback. And that's something David knew how to do. Back in Philadelphia, he launched a two-pronged campaign. Along with his doctor, Fritz Van Rie, he created the Castleman Disease Collaborative Network, a foundation dedicated to connecting Castleman's researchers and facilitating the development of new drugs. At the same time, he threw himself into laboratory and clinical research, using himself as a subject. Illness aside, it was a fertile year for David. He graduated from medical school and got engaged to Caitlin, was pushing forward his own research and cultivating a global Castleman's community. He was starting to feel hope. And then, once again, the symptoms returned. Fatigue, abdominal pain, night sweats, all the same as before. They should have been easy for David to recognize. But this time, he just couldn't.
I was still in denial. I was like, you know, it can't be a relapse. And I've only been fighting this, you know, working on treatments and trying to identify something else for about a year. And like, I haven't made enough progress yet. Like, this can't be it. I need more time.
David was virtually out of treatment options. There were no more experimental drugs for him to take. And he was approaching the lifetime maximum of the heavy dose chemotherapy that had saved him in the past. And worse than all that, an important deadline was looming.
And at this stage, I was engaged to Caitlin, and I wanted to make it to our wedding date more than anything. It was 5 months from our wedding date, and that's all I could think about. I could just make it to May 24th, 2014.
In the end, the high-dose chemotherapy again served to tide him over. But David knew it was just a temporary fix. The clock was running down, and he needed a Hail Mary pass if he was going to survive.
And then I really dove into my data. I dove into the samples that I had, the experiments I'd been running, the data that I'd been generating, to try to identify some sort of signal within the data that could maybe identify a drug that already existed. I knew I couldn't develop a new drug. That would take 10 years and $1 billion, but maybe I could find something in my data that would suggest that something was wrong, where there was a drug that already exists that could target that thing.
Over the next few weeks, David pored over thousands of pages of his own medical records, along with data from the experiments he'd done with himself as the subject. What he was looking for was a tell, that one irregularity that might be the key to his illness. It was like finding a needle in a haystack. And then, one day, he spotted it. In data taking several months before his last relapse, he saw that his T cells and a specific immune system molecule were out of whack. After more tests, David figured out the connection between the two, a cellular communication line called the mTOR pathway. David had a hunch that if he was able to shut down that communication line, he might be able to prevent his immune system from overreacting.
But I knew that there was a drug called sirolimus, and this drug was developed 30 years ago for kidney transplantation. It had never been used before for Castleman disease, but I was out of options, and so I decided to try it on myself as the first patient with Castleman's.
David took the leap. In January of 2014, he quit taking his other drugs and started taking sirolimus. It was a gamble, but one that ultimately paid off.
Today, it's now been almost 71 months. I think it's like 71.92 months. I can't round up. I don't know if I'm going to make it to 72 months. But I also won't round down because, you know, we worked really, really hard for each portion of this remission.
These days, he leads a research lab at the University of Penn, where he went to medical school. And he and Caitlin have a daughter, 1.5-year-old Amelia, who's just starting to walk. David ended up turning his experimental cure into a clinical study. So far, it's shown that sirolimus helps 30% of patients go into remission. It's a major win, but for David, not quite enough.
We constantly have patients come into our lab reminding our team of, you know, why we do what we do. And, you know, all I have to do is touch my chest and feel my port, which is where I get chemotherapy, to remind me, like, things feel really, really good, and I'm doing really, really well right now. But I know where I've been, and I know what's kind of below the surface. And so that just motivates me to keep working harder and harder and harder.
But now, at least, there's a roadmap for how to find them. There's the research being done by the Castleman Disease Collaborative Network. And of course, there's David's own Hail Mary approach, the discovery of which helped deliver David's fifth and final lesson.
With this fifth time I nearly died, I think the biggest lesson that I took from it is that solutions can sometimes be hiding in plain sight. This drug that I'm on was in my nearby neighborhood CVS for all of those years when I was in and out of the hospital, spending months hospitalized, but no one had ever thought to try it. This drug was just sitting there on the shelf. Of course, behind the counter, it's a prescription drug, but no one had thought to try it. How many other drugs are there out there? How many other solutions are there out there for diseases and for other industries where they already exist, just someone has to find it?
Since Liz reported that story in January, a lot has changed, and we asked David how he's doing now. On the plus side, he said he gets to spend more time with his daughter.
Come here. Amelia, last time you were on the pulse, you had just started saying Mama and Dada. You had just started saying Mama and Dada.
David has to be especially careful because the drugs he has to take suppress his immune system. But once again, he wanted to be part of the solution. His lab at the University of Pennsylvania had been studying immune hyperactivation, or cytokine storms. It basically means your immune system is going into overdrive and doing more damage to the body than the invader it's trying to fight. This occurs in Castleman's and also with some COVID-19 patients. When David realized this, he was hoping that labs would start to look at ways of treating this immune hyperactivation.
And then I found myself saying, wait a minute, you know, if I'm going to hope that someone out there does it, we've got a lab that's focused on this, and we've got people who are committed to making a difference in other patients' lives. And so why don't we just do it? So a few weeks ago, we assembled a team, a 30-member team of volunteers, some of which are scientists in my lab, some of which are volunteers who are citizen scientists, so they don't have formal training, but they wanted to get involved. We extracted data on over 5,000 COVID-19 patients. And now we have what I believe as of right now is the world's only central database that lists all the drugs that have ever been tried against COVID-19. And we're currently doing analyses to understand what drugs are working and what drugs are not working.